Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Glad you're here for the conversation. Certainly appreciate you taking the time. Gun-free zones, they don't turn out very well as a general rule. We've talked about it a number of times, especially with my next guest who has been studying guns, gun crime, gun control, and all related issues for many, many years from an academic point of view. Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can always find more at crimeresearch.org. John, nice to see you again.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you again.
There's a great divide in this country. We were just talking in the break. I live in Michigan, where the chance of what's happening in Tennessee is zero, and what's happening in Tennessee is they're doing the right thing. They're allowing teachers and staff at schools to carry concealed to protect themselves, to protect against violence in those schools, because for whatever reason, America's not what it was 50 years ago. And here's what I can tell you, John. Well, you don't have these mass shootings in Detroit public schools. Why? Because there are armed police on campus every day. Same thing in Chicago, where you have special resource officers or armed police. You don't have these sorts of shootings. And the same thing is true where you have schools where teachers and staff and faculty are armed as well, correct?
Well, it's even more so in schools where you have teachers and staff to carry. We've looked at all the school shootings, from anything from an accidental discharge all the way up to a mass public school shooting from 2000 on. And what you find is that we have 20 states that allow teachers and staff to carry, and yet there's not been one single attack where anybody's been wounded or killed at any of those schools that allow teachers and staff to carry. Look, law enforcement is extremely important, but they have a very difficult job when you're talking about stopping these types of attacks. Because if you have somebody in uniform, you give these attackers large tactical advantages. They can either wait for the officer to leave the area before they attack, or they can go on and move to, let's say, another building in the complex. Or if they're going to attack there, they'll go and try to take out the one person in uniform, because they know that once they've taken that person out, they're going to have free rein to go after other people that are there. The advantage of concealed carry is that the attacker doesn't know who it is that they have to worry about. And if you do have a school resource officer in uniform, the fact that you might also have armed teachers there makes the job of the school resource officer much safer. Because if the person attacks the officer, he has to worry that somebody behind him or to the side, somebody that he's not able to identify beforehand, is going to be able to go and stop him. And so, and look, you read any of the diaries or manifestos for these mass murders. You look at the Biden administration still hasn't released the diary from the Covenant school shooter in Tennessee last year, which has been a big motivation for why they passed this law in Tennessee. But it turns out that that mass murderer originally wanted to go after a mall there nearby, but when they checked it out, found out that there was armed people there. And so they decided that that wasn't a smart place to go and attack. And then they scouted out the school and convinced themselves that it was a soft target, that nobody was going to be able to go and stop them. And so that's the reason why they decided to go after that school. So, I mean, it be great if people didn't have to worry about these types of things at all. And I understand the desire to go and create, you know, safe areas by banning guns. But the problem is that when you go and you ban guns in those areas, you actually create a magnet for these attacks. I'll just give you one last example, and that is in Tennessee, if you violated the gun-free school zone that they had there, it was 6 years in prison. 6 years in prison for you or I accidentally carrying a gun onto school property would dramatically change our lives. But let's say you're the murderer there who had murdered six people, and assuming that they had lived, they'd be facing six death penalties or six life sentences. Does anybody really seriously believe that they'll say, well, I can put up with six death penalties or six life sentences, but you add another 6 years for my seventh life, and right, that will stop me from doing it. And all you've done is pass a law. Well, it's worse than that. It's worse than meaningless, because what you've done is you've made it so that the murderer there knows that they'll be the only person that's willing to go and break the law.
Yeah.
And that means that they'll be the only person with a gun.
And they have a very, as we call it, a very soft target. And there it is.
Right.
So Tennessee, not the first state to do this, but the latest state to join this growing list of schools and states saying, look, we need to protect the kids. And I agree with that. You know, for the amount of money we squander in this country every year, we could have special resource officers. We could have training sessions, have faculty and staff and teachers trained properly to defend kids. To me, it's common sense. And instead, on the left, they want to demonize police and disarm law-abiding citizens. Makes no sense at all, does it?
No. Look, I mean, we see this across the country where we've had a collapse of law enforcement in this country, particularly in these blue cities that are there. You know, if you look at the arrest rate for the 5 years before COVID for violent crime, it was 44%. It started falling in 2020 for cities over a million. And by 2022, it was down to 20% of reported violent crimes result in arrest. That's a collapse of law enforcement. It's not too surprising that you've seen an increase, a vast increase in violent and property crimes at the same time that law enforcement's collapsed. But they, people out there on the left don't think that law enforcement matters. They don't think that prosecution matters for deterring criminals.
Right. I want to ask you about one other thing that we didn't talk about before this, but I do want to mention this. In December, just before Christmas, Ivy and I and the family took a vacation to Turks and Caicos. Lovely little spit of sand down there in the Caribbean. Didn't mind it. Enjoyed it for a few days. The weather was nice. The sand was great. But do not show up in Turks and Caicos with one .22 bullet in your luggage anywhere. If you get caught with one cartridge of any sort, you're going to prison for 12 years, it seems. A couple of tourists now jammed up down there from the United States, not because they were caught bringing it in, but because there were some shells rattling around in their duffel bag, one or two or three. When they tried to leave Turks and Caicos, they found bullets, no guns to go with them, bullets, and now they're in jail in a very hostile situation. It's a warning to Americans and others to know what the rules and laws are when you travel out of the country, isn't it?
Right. Well, I mean, beyond that is just kind of the futility of going and having those types of bans. Every island nation around the world that's banned either all guns or all handguns has seen an increase in murder rates. And it's often by threefold, sevenfold increases over what it was. And the problem is, you know, when they try to ban guns, it's basically the most law-abiding good citizens who obey those rules, not the criminals. You may take a few guns from the criminals, but if you primarily are disarming law-abiding good citizens, you end up making it easier for criminals to commit crimes, just like these gun-free zones that we were just talking about. So they go and they pass these laws when they have crime problems, and the crime problems get even worse. And rather than going back and trying to undo the gun control laws that they have, they end up doubling down on these things and, unfortunately, just making the problems even worse.
You know, it's right what you said, exactly right, because, a couple of years ago, we went to the British Virgin Islands, BVI. Also a nice place, beautiful place. Guns are illegal there completely, and the murder rate is ridiculous.
I'm going to have to go. You're going to all these beautiful islands. I'm going to have to tag along sometimes.
Well, you should. I mean, you live in the middle of paradise in Montana, so you get paradise every day. But I looked up the crime stats in BVI.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
The murder rate,
oh, yeah.
The armed robbery, it's terrible. It's a crime-ridden place once you get away from the tourist areas. They protect the tourist areas like a lot of places in the world. You get out in the rest of the place, terrible.
Right. Well, you know, you look at a country like Jamaica, after they had their gun ban in the 1970s, they had basically about a sevenfold increase in murder rates that were occur there. And the increase started instantly right after the ban went into effect. So, you know, the question that you have to ask with regard to gun control laws generally is who you're going to primarily be disarming.
And that's the people trying to protect themselves. Business owners, homeowners, that sort of thing. You're exactly right. Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. John, tag along next time when we go to the islands. Bring your sunscreen and your Speedo, and we'll go have a good time. All right. Thank you so much for being here, John Lott.
I'll try to get in shape.
There you go. Yeah. Six-pack for spring. All right. That's it for today. Don't forget to check out stevegruber.com. Glad you were here for another entertaining hour of the weekend edition of the Steve Gruber Show. This is the Steve Gruber Show.